Tonight we're moving on to the halachos of the placement of the mezuzah. First we'll start with something a little lighter in terms of the mezuzah cover, and then how to place the mezuzah on the doorway, where on the doorway, what position it's supposed to be on the doorway. So, Mirz Hashem, that will be tonight's topic. But before we move on to that, Sam pointed out to me that last night, he didn't mention it this way, but last night, someone asked a question and I never went back to answer it. And that was that when you take off the, we were talking about checking the mezuzahs last night, we were talking about actually, no, leaving the mezuzahs, and someone asked, well, the second you take off, how do you ever check a mezuzah? Second you take off the mezuzah, aren't you being mevatel, the mitzvah of mezuzah? So it happens to be, by coincidence, the Emek Bracha, which is in the packet for tonight, and this packet will last us definitely more than just tonight. It's a fairly long packet. But the Emek Bracha, which is in the back of today's packet, I was photocopying a different Emek Bracha, but on the same page as that Emek Bracha, there's an Emek Bracha that deals with this issue, that when every time you check a mezuzah, shouldn't it be a bittul mitzvah that you're leaving your house without a mezuzah? Not just a bittul mitzvah, but as we keep pointing out, sakana! That if it's such a sakana to take the mezuzahs off your house when you move out for the couple of days that it's going to be off the house, so certainly it would seem that it's a sakana to take. It could be a sakana not to check it if you assume it's possible.
I'm saying you have to make
sure. Right. So says the Emek Bracha. Says the Emek Bracha that l'chora nira kisha bot kima mezuzah tzrichon lahachin mezuzah acheres. That when you check the mezuzah, you have to have another mezuzah ready to be on the doorpost. A lot of the times when the sofer will come check the mezuzah, he'll have loaners that he'll give out, loaner mezuzahs that you could put on the doorpost. Otherwise, sometimes they'll just take half of the mezuzahs off the house at a time, and then the other half, so at least your house is not completely, you know, the mazikim that way are limited to certain rooms of the house, and your house is not completely unprotected. But he says, "Kshemasirim ha-mezuzah livdok tzarch tekev lachzov lukvah mezuzah acheres." The second you take it off, lachora you should have to put a new one on right away. You can't even wait to check the first one. You have to put a new one on right away because while you're checking it, it's going to be a bittul mitzvah of mezuzah. And he says, where do I know this from? That even just leaving it off for a short while is a bittul mitzvah. So it's something we actually skipped. It was in the Maror Makomos, one of the Maror Makomos that we handed out, but we didn't discuss it in Shir. The post can talk about what should you do if your mezuzah falls off the wall on Shabbos. So during the week, your mezuzah falls off, no problem. Pick it up, put it back on. But on Shabbos, it's an Isra of Bona, b'Shabbos. You can't add something to a binyan kavua. On Shabbos, if something falls off the structure of your house, you can't stick it back onto this, you can't nail it back in to the structure of your house. So the poskim discuss, what do you do if it falls off on Shabbos? Says the Prima Gadim, what you do is, you move. You go to a different house for Shabbos. Don't stay there. Unbelievable, no? You can't leave the house without a mezuzah, even for the remainder of Shabbos. The Prima Gadim says, if you have another place to go, if it's like, 20 degrees outside, you don't have another house, you probably don't have to stay outside. But if you have another house to go to, so you go to the other house. And he says, furthermore, if you think about it, the whole requirement of doing a bedik of checking the mezuzah is only really a chiv midrabanan. Midoraisa, we have a concept called chazaka. And that is that when something had a cheskas kashrus, when something was once kasher, and you checked it once when you first bought it, so you have every right to assume that it remained kasher, that nothing has changed. It's actually tomorrow's daf yomi, the Gemara Menachos, daf yud, discusses, how do we know the concept of chazaka? And the Gemara says, we know it from the fact that the Kohen, when he's soger a bayis that has tzaras, when he closes off a house that has tzaras, he needs to know that the size of the tzaras is at least a gris. But when he's closing the door, how does he know? Maybe it shrunk in that few seconds that he went to the door to close the door. How does he know that the house still has a gris of tzaras? So it must be that it's chazaka, that it had it when he looked at it 2 seconds earlier, so mistamet still has it then. So that's the source, at least according to one day in the Gemara, of chazaka mida oraisa. So on a daoraisa level, mezuzah has a cheskas kashrus, and it really never needs to be checked. And says the Emek Bracha, the raya is that 50 years can go by and you only need to check the mezuzah twice if it is a mezuzah shel tzibur. It's only a mezuzah shel yachid that we say that gets checked twice in a Shemitah cycle, but twice in the Yovel for a mezuzah of a tzibur. Well, what? We don't mind if the mezuzah is puzzle when it's a mezuzah shel tzibur? No, we see that you're allowed to rely on chazaka. And because we're more concerned that the mezuzah shel tzibur, if we were to put, like we said last night, if we were to put very strict rules about checking, it would never get done. So mele, we allow you to rely on the daraisa for a much longer period of time. So frak the emek bracha, if that's true, that there's a dinda or raisa, that they don't need to be checked at all, that you have a chazaka. So how can you be mevatel the mitzvah saseh of mezuzah by taking the mezuzah off, unless you put another one in its place right away? And he says, but wait a second, if I'm right though, that you're putting another one in its place right away, well, what's the point of checking the mezuzahs? Second you take them off, you're not putting them back anyway, because you have new ones in its place. Because when you took them off, you had to put a new one in its place. So he said, what's the point of checking? There's no point in checking anyway, because you have new ones anyway. Because you're not going to be allowed to take off the new ones to put the old ones back up, because you can't leave the house without a mezuzah. So he says something fascinating. He says, Al korchach tzorch lomar, dechacham lo itrichu kulei hai lachzor v'lekva mezuzah cheres. You have to say that the chacham weren't matriachas to actually put up another mezuzah while we're getting the mezuzah checked. V'lo itrichu el bedika. When the Chacham made this din that you need to check the mezuzahs, that's it. The din was to check the mezuzahs. The din was not to put another one up. Aye, but it's a din d'oraisa that another one does have to be put up. Yesh koch b'yad Chachamim lakor dov min haTorah b'shevi al taseh. The Chachamim have the ability to tell you to not do a din d'oraisa as long as they're telling you to do it b'shevi al taseh. So Sam told that over to me in the base medrash, and I said, well, wait a second, this is kum v'aseh. You're removing a mezuzah from your house. What do you mean shevi al taseh? So I realized, no, what he means is that certainly there's no isser with taking off the mezuzahs to check them. It's just that on a daraisa level, you should immediately have to put up another one in its place. So as soon as I remove the mezuzah, it's now shevi al taseh, because I'm not putting up the other one in its place. The removal of the first one is not the isser. The isser is the chiv daraisa is to then put up another one in its place. That's shevi al taseh. So that's how the Emek Bracha deals with the issue. He says you have to say that it was built into the system that a mezuzah is going to be off the door for a little bit while you're checking it. Yeah.
Would there be an isser of Baal Tosif if you put on, before you remove the mezuzah and you put on a second one?
Probably.
Why?
Yeah, two mezuzahs on your doorpost is an isser of Baal Tosif. We saw yesterday Rav Moshe with the mezuzah that was painted over. But some people say, okay, it's painted over, it's probably possible anyway, let me just put another one on. So that's two mezuzahs. So then you're getting into a very big sugya of Baal Tosif, meaning if it's kavanasa lahosif or ain't kavanasa lah, meaning the sugya of Baal Tosif is whether you rely regard that whether mitzvah tzrichs kavana ain't tzrichs kavana plays a role, that if you hold mitzvah tzrichs kavana and you're not having kavana for the mitzvah, so then maybe it's not a violation of Baal Tosif. So you're getting into a much bigger sugya. Okay, but theoretically, if you have negative kavana, I'm putting up this mezuzah, but I do not want to get the mitzvah of mezuzah by putting up this mezuzah until I remove the other one, so then you have some good lamdas to talk about. That would be a nice debate in lamdas. Okay, let's move on to today's topic. So first we're going to start with a non-menachos, well, it sort of is menachos related, but the smaller topic is the mezuzah cover. That's what we're going to start with first. There's a Gemara in Bava Metzia. So we quoted this Gemara last night for the very last line of the Gemara, when it talks about the mice of a guy who took the mezuzahs down, and he ended up burying his wife and two kids because he took the mezuzahs down when he left the house, when he moved out. But it's the line before that that's interesting for our purposes tonight. The Gemara, in context, is discussing when someone rents a house to somebody else, so who's obligated in the various things that the house needs? The furniture and the different things that the house needs. So the Gemara says that the socher is chayv lasosel sula, maka, marzev, latiach eskago, and the maskir is chayv to liftach halonos, chazik tikra, the smachkura, all these different things. The Gemara says, but mezuzah almi. Who's responsible for the mezuzah? Says the Gemara, mezuzah chavas hadarhi. Pashut, who the mezuzah, who has to put up the mezuzah? It's a chiv on the person who lives in the house to put up the mezuzah. Socher is one who lives in the house, he's one's chayv and mezuzah. Now the Gemara says, that's not what we're asking. Mako mezuzah almi. In order to put up the mezuzah, and this is important, I think whenever Chazal speak about, and certainly Rishonim speak about putting up a mezuzah, they're not assuming you're putting up a mezuzah the way we do it, where you just stick it onto to a flat doorpost. They're assuming that you hollow out an area. If you've ever seen really old, in the old city, I'm sure, like really old places where Jews lived, they would actually hollow out a piece of the doorway and stick the mezuzah literally in the doorpost. So makom mezuzah almi means whose job is it to make sure that you hollow out an area to put the mezuzah? So Amar Rav Sheshes, Tanisua, Davar Shein Ma'isu Uman, Asochro Sehu, Vahinami Lav Ma'isu Uman Hu. So Efshar Hubeguf Sudakanya. Gemara says, well, anything that's not a Ma'isu Uman, anything that's not you don't need a professional to do, the Socher has to take care of. Anything that does need a professional, anything that requires a much greater, you need a carpenter or something to take care of, then the masker would take care of that. But a mezuzah you could take care of very easily by just sticking it into a reed, by just sticking it into some sort of tube and then putting it on that way. So it's true, most people don't do that. Most people will stick the mezuzah inside of the wall and have it directly in the wall, or I'm not sure what the Gemara was assuming they would do, but since it's possible to take care of it by just sticking it into some sort of tube and then putting it on the wall, so that's not a ma'isu uman, and therefore the socher is going to be the one that's responsible. So basically what we see from that Gemara, what emerges from that Gemara, is that the mezuzah can be placed in a tube. It doesn't say it has to be, but it says it can be placed in the tube. Now, if you look at Tosfos over there, the Gufs of the Kanya, and really, the Tosfos is a very abbreviated version of Tosfos here in Menachos, Daf Lamed Gimel. Tosfos over here in Menachos discusses how you would place the mezuzah, what angle you place the mezuzah. And we're going to get to that later on, whether you put it horizontally or vertically. So if you look, just for instance, look at our Gemara, Lam Gimel Min Alfa Menachos. So the Gemara says, Amar Bidom Rav, Asa Kimin Nagar Psula. If you put your mezuzah in like a peg or a nail, it's possible. Nagar means a carpenter, really, but over here it means what the carpenter deals with, like a nail or a peg. So that's going to be possible. How do you put a nail into a wall? So you run the nail into the wall this way. Right, you bang the nail in this way. So if you put the mezuzah in this way, that's possible. The mezuzah is supposed to be, Rashi says, this way. Right, if you look, Rashi even drew pictures for us in case we would have a hard time with it. That if you put it in flat into the wall, that's no good. Kaminagras psula. So frak the Gemara, really? Any vakyas or b'yisra b'yosef amr kulu mezuzah to be Rebbe kaminagaravu avidan? Someone forgot to tell that to Rebbe, because in his house, all of them were put in like that. Plus the doorway that went from Rebbe's house to the Beis Medrash didn't have mezuzah. Okay, that's a different discussion for a different time. But the main question is, wait a second, how could Rebbe do this if you're not allowed to put it, if it's possible when you put the mezuzah in this way? And so Gemara Lokasha, Hadavida Kesichsa, Hadavida Kiistuyara, that it depends whether the mezuzah is, and Rashi draws the pictures, when it's put in flat like this, so that is puzzle. But when it's L-shaped, you bend it in the middle or something, that's how Rashi draws the picture at least, then it's kosher. When it's sort of going in both directions, an L-shaped kind of mezuzah, it's bent in the middle, then it's going to be kosher. The Tosvos this long Tosfos over here, Dibur Maskel HaDavida Kesichsa, discusses this issue, whether Rashi is correct, that Kamin Nagar means that it's lying down. And Tosfos says, well, wait a second, that means, according to Rashi, the best way to put the mezuzah is standing up. But he says, Kashal Rebbeinu Tam, Demu Umad Lav Derech Kavod Hu. He doesn't think that's Derech Kavod, to have a mezuzah standing up. I'm not sure why. Why is it not Derech Kavod? And he has a Gemara, but Basra, not sure, Kavoros Chamor, Kari Leba Mocher Peros, it's considered to be disrespectful. And then he says, V'sefer Torah V'lucho Shabar Mushkav V'lomu Umad, Kin Mashu Perakam Deba Basra. That when in the Aron, in the Beis HaMikdash, the Luchos and the Sefer Torah were put in the Aron. That's what was housed in the Aron. And that they were all put in lying down, not standing up. Now the Gemara doesn't say that explicitly in Bava Basra. In fact, the Luchos were cubes, so it's unclear how Tosfos knows that they were lying down versus standing up, meaning the ksav was facing the mala, the ksav was facing up, as opposed to, I'm not sure. I don't know, the Gemara just discusses the measurements of the Aron. That's one of the places where the Gemara figures out, uses pi to figure out, because the Sefer Torah is assumed to be circular. So the Gemara figures out, after you put the luchos in, so how much space do you have left for the Sefer Torah? And if the Sefer Torah is a circle, we have to figure out how thick the Sefer Torah was. But I look back at that Gemara in Bava Basra, I'm still not sure how Tosfos knows that they were lying down. The Gemara over there says that you would want the Sefer Torah to have a little bit of wiggle room in the side of the Aron so you can pull it out and put it back in easily, so that it shouldn't be wedged in to the point that you can't take it out. Tosafot over there says, why not? Who cares? No one's ever taken it out. Who would ever go? You can't even go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's where the Aron was. You go there, the Kohen Gadol goes there in Yom Kippur. It's not part of the Avodah to remove the Sefer Torah from the Aron, so who cares if it's wedged in? Let it be wedged in. So the Tosafot says, no, they need to go check it every once in a while and make sure it didn't become possible. And if they ever need to, if there's ever a dispute about what the proper letters are of the Sefer Torah, they would use that as the that Sefer Torah in the Aron to determine those to determine what are the accurate words and letters of a Sefer Torah. Fine, but the bottom line is Rabbeinu Tam, we're going to see, disagrees with Rashi's reading of the Gemara. He thinks that a mezuzah is supposed to be put in not standing up. He thinks the ideal mezuzah is supposed to be lying down. K'min Nagar is standing up. He says, and that's possible, the mezuzah is supposed to be lying down. So we have two shittas from Rishonim, how the mezuzah is supposed to be. Should it be standing up? Should it be vertical? Should it be horizontal? So now take a look at that Tosfos B'Metzia. It says Tosfos, Mikan Nir Kamosh Pirush Rashi B'Menachas. He says the Gemara B'Metzia sounds like Rashi. Why? Shemanichan HaMezuzah Mu'umad, that you put it standing up, L'chein Tzarech Gufsa Dekana Shalot Tipal. Why do you need anything covering the mezuzah? Why does the mezuzah need to be put in a tube? So says Tosfos, the mezuzah needs to be put in a tube because if it's not, it'll fall right over. According to Rashi, that it's standing up, you put a scroll, a thin scroll, standing up, and that will happen. It will just fall right over. So they would put it in a tube that had a flat bottom so that it would be more secure and it won't fall over. That's the, and presumably again, it's in a hole that's in the wall. I guess you just don't, I'm not sure exactly how to read the Gemara in B'Metzia in terms of Maisa Uman versus not Maisa Uman, but presumably it's in a hole that's in the doorpost. If you put it in standing up, it's going to fall right over. You put it in lying down, so what do you need the tube for? It would stay there anyway. So that's Tosa's Raya, that it's a Raya to Rashi, this Gemara in B'Metzia sounds much more like Rashi. But he says, no, you could defend it even according to Rabbeinu Tam. Maybe you could say that the idea of the tube is just to protect it from the moisture of the wall, just to protect it from the elements. And that's probably the primary function of a mezuzah cover. So that's Aleph. Aleph, again, was just, where do we find a source for a mezuzah cover in Shas? That is a Gemara in B'Metzia. That's the source for it. Tosfos tries to show how it fits, why it would be necessary, both according to Rashi and according to Rabbeinu Tam. For Rashi, it's necessary for practical reasons. Otherwise, the mezuzah is not going to stay there. For according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's necessary to protect it, just to protect the mezuzah itself. Now, what type of cover should be used for the mezuzah? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, source number 3, and so, yeah.
Yeah, I just have a question on the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Mm-hmm. How do we know that the Maisa Uman means that there's a tube? How do you know that it's not a Maisa Uman to just drill a little hole in the wall? Like maybe it's such a simple technique of just cutting through a little bit of
No, I think Maisa Uman could mean that, but the Gemara says that Efshar Hu B'Gufsa D'Kanya, that since the Gemara just says matter-of-factly, Gufsa D'Kanya means to put it in a reed, to put it in a tube. So since the Gemara just mentions that matter-of-factly, that it's possible to put it in a reed, so that shows you that you don't need a Maisa Uman to hang your mezuzah. So Shulchan Aruch writes, okay, so now, what should I make my mezuzah cover out of? Sometimes you see clear plastic ones, sometimes you see metal ones, like we have in all the doorways over here, or in some of the doorways, the ones that have mezuzahs. The Shulchan Aruch, I keep meaning to remind somebody about that, the Shulchan Aruch, so next time you see Richie, just mention that door. Okay, next, so the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Reish Pei Vav, writes, Makom Shiesh Tinuf, Kigon She Tinokos Mitzuyim Sham, when you have a dirty place, like children are there, young children, Tov L'Chasos HaMezuzah, it's disrespectful to have a mezuzah on a room where there are dirty diapers in there all the time. That's why we don't have a mezuzah on a bathroom. It's a bizayin to have a mezuzah on a room that has dirty diapers in there all the time. Ubemakom Tara Tov Lios Niris. But, says Shulchan Aruch, if it's in a clean place, then the mezuzah should be visible. So fascinating. We generally think of what kind of mezuzah cover to choose based on style or based on just what we feel like, what we happen to have available to us. Shulchan Aruch says no. There are rules over here that if you're in a makom tara, if you're in a clean place, so the mezuzah should be visible. if you're in an unclean place, the mezuzah should not be visible. Says the Taz, and this is the most important Taz in regards to, the most important Maramakum in regards to mezuzah covers, is this Taz, mostly because it's pretty much the only Maramakum in regards to mezuzah covers, but says the Taz, nearly, to ein lasa shtia nira b'li kisoy klal, to nimshach mizah avera, to b'chol pam shem mashmashim ba, b'knisi v'yitzia mochik ma'at mishem shakai, at shenimchach l'gam riach hazman rab. Unbelievable. He says, don't leave it totally exposed. You definitely need the cover. Why? Because we've discussed that there's a minhag, halacha, Shulchan Aruch recommends, that when you walk in and out of a room, based on the Gemara and Avodah Zarah with Unkelus Hager, that you're supposed to touch the mezuzah on your way in and out of the room. Well, if you can touch the mezuzah on your way in and out of the room, the mezuzah doesn't have anything protecting it, the shame, shin, dalid, yud, is on the outside of the mezuzah. Every time you touch it, it's going to rub off a little bit more. Ultimately, it's going to be rubbed off. And that's no good. Which is interesting, because when are you violating that Avera? It's an Avera to be mochik to Shem Hashem. Who's doing that? When did you do that, Avera? What's the Maisa Avera, B'mochik Shem Hashem, in this situation? It's thousands of times touching the mezuzah that has a cumulative effect. There's never one time where you say that you've been mochik the Shem Hashem. It's just that you've created a matzav where the Shem Hashem is going to be nimchak, even if you aren't being mochik the Shem Hashem.
The one who finishes the act is...
The question is, the Taz sounds like he's saying that it's going to be nimchak legamri achar zman rav. I don't think it means when the last bit of ink, you know, that guy's responsible. Mistama from when it goes to be, once it's not readable anymore. But that's very hard to, you know, to say that, you see, now I touched it and it's not readable. It's something that there's probably no single time that you can say definitively that it went from being readable to not being readable. So as soon as it's not readable, that's when the mechika happened. This is an important gedder in terms of mechikas Hashem, whether the yisur is only to be mochik the shame, or that the shame should be nimchak. There's a shaila that came up a number of years ago. Ramosh has a tshuva about it, and a lot of the other gedolim have tshuvas about it. Gedolei Poskim have tshuvas about it. Vagai had some sort of disease, where it was a very contagious disease. He had to like live in a bubble for a month or something, and the whole time that he was there, that he was quarantined, everything that went in had to be burnt. So he was going to be there for a month, and everything that went in had to be burnt. So the shaila was, is he allowed to bring his tefillin in? So they will burn his tefillin afterwards. He's not going to burn them, but is it usher to cause a situation where the tefillin are going to be nimchak, even though it's through no ma'isa of his own? So that's that. You have to question, what's the gedder of mechikas Hashem? Is it a ma'isa of mechikas Hashem? Now you could argue this is worse, because over here it is a ma'isa, you just don't know exactly when that ma'isa happened, and it's you're doing that ma'isa over a period of time. So it's not something like, it's not something that happens at once, but it is something that is several, it's not just a ma'isa, it's a ma'isa done several times over and over again, as opposed to over there where you're not doing any ma'isa at all. Yeah, the mice is touching. That's the mice.
Yeah, but there's no mice in the chika. There's no iser to touch the mezuzah. There's an iser to erase Hashem's name.
Right.
Right.
So that right. That's the dimion I wanted to make. But I'm just saying that over here, at least you're doing something actively that is causing the mechika. Over there, you're not doing anything that's causing the mechika or the burning.
So according to Tosfot, if it's in the wall, how would you ever erase the shame?
How would you? Well, you're touching it. It's not closed. You can still see it.
Wouldn't it only be like the tip?
Yeah. So they would expose the shame that's on the outside of the mezuzah. That part would be exposed. So So the Taz says, so that's why it's got to be covered in something. So what should you do? He says, so when I say that, when the Shulchan Aruch says it has to be visible, it means a glass cover. That's what the Taz writes. It has to be a glass cover. And he says that, now, there is a halacha in Or Chaim, in Hilchos Kriyas Shema, in Simanai in Vav. Tsoa ba'ashoshes. The Gemara discusses that you're not allowed to read Kriyas Shema in front of Tsoa. You're not allowed to say Dvarim Sheva Kedusha in front of excrement. So Tsoa ba'ashoshes, mutu likros Kriyas Shema kenegda. But if you have excrement in glass, then you're allowed to say Kriya Shema across from it, and that's not a problem. Even though you can see it, even though you can see the Tzoa, still, it's not a problem. So says the Taz, it would seem you can satisfy all opinions by having a glass cover. Meaning, what's the whole reason why we said in a makom tinofes, in a place where there are dirty diapers or whatever else, you shouldn't have a mezuzah cover? We said because you need a mezuzah cover because you don't want it's not respectful to the mezuzah, right? Yet on the other end, we said in a very clean place, you want the mezuzah to be visible. So he says there's no isser of having a mezuzah visible in a place where there's tzoa. The isser is having a mezuzah exposed in a place where there's tzoa. Very different. How do I know that? He says, that's halacha in Hilchos Krishna. If you have tzoa bashashas, you have inside a glass enclosure, there's tzoa, you're allowed to say kriyashma. Because the isser saying kriyashma b'makom tzoa is when there's no mechitza blocking it off. It's not an isser of seeing, as opposed to what? There's another halacha the Gemara Brachos talks about, erva ba'ashashas. You're not allowed to say kriyashma in front of erva ba'ashashas. If, let's say, there's a naked person inside a glass tube or whatever, behind a glass wall. So you're not allowed to say dvarim shabakdush. We discussed that when we were discussing the halachas of mechitzas pesach knesses, where if Moshe says that maybe technically it's mutter to have a mechitza made out of glass, but if women aren't dressed properly, and you're not allowed to say kriyashma in front of erva, so if the women aren't dressed properly and there's erva on the other side of the glass, you're not allowed to say dvarim shabakdusha in front of the erva, and the glass doesn't help for the erva. So the Taz makes an important chilik. He says when you're dealing with a baby's room where there's always dirty diapers, so glass mezuzah is great. When you're dealing with a bedroom of adults, of married adults, where there's tashma shamita, so then glass is no good, right? Then you would need to actually cover it. Because the Gemara talks about tzoa b'ashashas, but there's no difference, and you're saying the davar shel kedusha in the room, so Taz says this is just flipping it on its head. The item of kedusha is b'ashashas, and the disgusting stuff is out in the room, but it shouldn't make a difference, right? So he says when it comes to erva, you need to have better than a glass covering. But, l'chora, it should be pointed out that the halacha is, when it comes to, in the very end of Chelek Beis of Mishnah Brura, there's a simon called Hilchas Tznius, which is all about the halachas of Tashma Shamita and things like that. So one of the halachas is that it's asur l'shamish mitaso in front of a mezuzah, unless a mezuzah has a double covering. So most of the time, it's a complete non-issue. Why? Take this door for a second. If you were to close this door, so the mezuzah is not in the room. The mezuzah is outside. And most doors of most bedrooms work that way, that the mezuzah is going to end up outside anyway. But let's say you have a situation where, for whatever reason, the door opens out. It doesn't usually happen to a bedroom. But let's say the door opens out, and therefore the mezuzah is left on the inside of the door. So the halacha is you can't just rely on the one cover that you always have there. You have to put another cover over the mezuzah. So if anyway you have to put another cover over the mezuzah, as long as that cover is not see-through, so then it wouldn't be a problem to use a glass cover for a mezuzah in a bedroom, even if the mezuzah remained inside the bedroom during the tashmish. Yeah?
It's like the wrapper they put around the cloth. Is that considered a...
Yeah, it doesn't see... Well, let's wait on that. Let's see. When we talk about the grub, we'll see if that does or doesn't count. Yeah.
What's the reason you can't touch the cloth while the Torah?
I'm sorry, just one second. The L'chor, it depends on the two possible reasons why you would need the two things in Tosos, why you need something around the cloth. Is it to help it stand, in which case the wrapper does nothing? Or is it just to protect it from the moisture, which the wax paper wrapper L'chor does a lot, or the plastic wrap? Yeah, I'm sorry, say again.
Why can't you touch the cloth of the Sefer Torah?
The Mitamenas Yadayim, the halacha is that you're not allowed to touch them with Yadayim Suavos. You have to do
Nitzilas
Yadayim.
No?
You just have to do Nitzilas Yadayim before you touch Kisvei Kodesh and Megillah also. When you read Megillah, L'chora, it should be the same by Mezuzah. Yeah. So that would be another problem, saying, aside from the fact that you're erasing the thing, you shouldn't be allowed to touch the cloth of Kisvei Kodesh. Yeah, that should be a problem. That is correct. Okay. There is a shita out there I photocopied the wrong marmakom for you, so I apologize for that. I put in the marmakomos a note from my brother's notes in the mezuzah, but I photocopied the wrong note. But the Das Kedoshim in Sim Reish Peites quotes those who hold that you're not supposed to use barzel for a mezuzah cover. You shouldn't use iron. Why? What's the svara? So there's a halacha that Barzal doesn't go on the Mizbeach, that iron doesn't go on the Mizbeach because it's Mekatzer Shnosav Shaladam, and you shouldn't have it on the thing that's Ma'arich Shnosav Shaladam. The Mizbeach gives us life, the Avoda is what gives us Arichus Yamim, so you don't want to use iron implements on the Mizbeach. We're not allowed to. It's an Isser to use iron implements on the Mizbeach, an Isser Daraisa. So some poskim say, same by a mezuzah. Why same by a mezuzah? That mezuzah is supposed to be for arichas yamim, supposed to provide arichas yamim. So because of the man yirbu yimeichem, you dafka shouldn't have barzel. But even so, the Das Kedoshim says it's only iron, but other metals it would be okay. Das Kedoshim mentions the only reason we generally don't use silver is that we're afraid it's going to get stolen. But otherwise, it would be wonderful to use silver mezuzahs if you live in a low crime area or in the mezuzahs inside your house. It's a great idea. It's a nice hiddur mitzvah to use silver. It's l'chora. It's more of a hiddur mitzvah to have a silver mezuzah cover than it would be, let's say, a silver esrog box. It's unclear whether a silver esrog box is any kiyum of hiddur mitzvah, because it's not a hiddur in the chefetz shel mitzvah at all. In fact, when you're doing the mitzvah, the silver is not there. You're only holding the esrog. I mean, it's a nice thing to have in your house. There's no issue of owning silver, and it's fine. It's nice to treat mitzvahs respectfully, but the greater kiyum of hiddur mitzvah l'chor is by the mezuzah, the silver mezuzahs, because while you're being mekayim the mitzvah, it's being beautified by the cover, and there is some halachic basis that there's a requirement to have a cover. We don't find anywhere that there's a requirement to have an esrog box at all. You can just put your esrog in your fridge in the fruit drawer and hope no one eats it and come back and take it tomorrow. So the requirement to have a mezuzah cover is itself a halachic requirement that relates to the mezuzah. So l'chor, that's more of an inyan of hiddur mitzvah than you would have by other silver things, by other silver Judaica. The disposal of the mezuzah cover is also interesting. So in general, there is a halacha that things that are used for a mitzvah, even after you're done using them, halacha is they still have to be treated respectfully. So what does it mean they still have to be treated respectfully? So it depends. There are some things, like your lulav after sukkahs is over, where you throw it out after sukkahs, but you throw it away in a respectful way. You put it in a separate bag or something, and then you could throw it out. But there are other things that you can't just throw away. Your old tefillin, you have to put it in Seamus. You're not allowed to just throw it away. So we've mentioned many times in the past, Rav Schechter has a piece in Eretz HaTzvi where he goes into great detail into being magdir the difference between Tashmishei Mitzvah and Tashmishei Kedusha. The halacha is Tashmishei Mitzvah, things that are used for the sake of a mitzvah, they're la'achar zman mitzvah, and then nizrakin. After you're done using them, you could throw them away. Tashmishei Kedusha, things that are used for Kedusha, whatever that means, then la'achar zman mitzvasan, after you're done with them, you have to put them in Seamus. So what's the chilek? What's the geder between Tashmishei Mitzvah and Tashmishei Kedusha? So there's Braisa Megillah Chavavim Beis that tells us that what are Tashmishei Mitzvah? Sukkah, Lulav, Shofar, Tzitzis. Those are Tashmishei Mitzvah. Tashmishei Kedusha? Tefillin, Mezuzahs, Svarim covers, Sefer Torah covers. Those are Tashmishei Kedusha. Tikshel Sefer Torah, not Tikshel Tefillin. Boxes of the tefillin, the bag of the tefillin, those are tashmishei, the boxes, right? Those are the tashmishei kedusha. So what's the geder that divides them? So the Rav Schechter writes in Eretz HaTzvi, in Simen Yud Beis in Eretz HaTzvi, that the ikar geder is as follows. In general, whenever we talk about kedusha, the yisod of all kedusha is kedusha satorah. All kedusha in this world begins with Torah. And he says, really, that relates to the fact that all Kedusha in this world, the yisod of all Kedusha in this world, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we know the Ramban, we always quote the Ramban in the Hakdamah to his commentary on Chumash, says that the Kol HaTorah Kula, Shmosav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah is representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the Shem Hashem. So since all Kedusha begins with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so therefore all Kedusha that we can't bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu in any physical form, right? But all Kedusha that we have, anything that we have that relates to Kedusha, always relates to Torah. That's the idea. Why are Bnei Yisrael Kodesh? Because we learn Torah. And that we make the Torah part of us. And that's what gives us Kedusha. So based on that, he says, that's the difference between Tashmishei Kedusha and Tashmishei Mitzvah. Tashmishei Kedusha are things that are related to Torah, to actual Ksav Shel Torah. things that relate to psukim of Torah, writing from of words of Torah. Tashmish and mitzvah are things that have nothing to do with ksav shel Torah. For instance, now go back to the list. What's tashmish and mitzvah? Sukkah. There's no ksav shel Torah in the sukkah. Yeah, people have like decorations with psukim on it or something, but with the sukkah itself, it's just a couple of walls and 2.5 walls and schach. No ksav shel Torah. Lulav, there's no ksav shel Torah. Shofar, no ksav shel Torah. Tzitzis, there's no ksav shel Torah. Sometimes people like to put the bracha or a pasuk on the atar or something, but again, really no ksav shel Torah on the tzitzis. What are tashmishi kedusha? Tefillin, mezuzahs. Right, these all have ksav. They all have ksav shel Torah. So Shachter suggests that that's the gedder, that's the chiluk. He points out that maybe that's why the halacha is that a Jewish person who dies, the halacha is you have to bury him. A non-Jew who dies, the halacha is there's no mitzvah of kavura. You don't have to bury a non-Jew who dies. You could, if he wants to be cremated, it's fine. There's no mitzvah of kavura. He wants to be thrown into the ocean, also fine. Right, there's no mitzvah of kvura in a non-Jew. So why? What's the chilek? So Rav Shachter suggests, well, what's the difference between the kedusha of a Jew and the kedusha of a non-Jew? We both do mitzvahs. So you can say, what? It's the number of mitzvahs. They do 7 mitzvahs. We do 613. Says, yeah, and women do fewer than 613. We all do fewer than 613. Women do even fewer than that. And kohanim do a few more. So what? So that's what defines kedusha. Is that is just a numbers game? How many mitzvahs you do? So he says, no, the point is that Klal Yisrael doesn't just do mitzvahs. Klal Yisrael is the Torah's chakuk aluach libecha. The Torah becomes a part of us. We are created based on the idea of being able to internalize Torah. A guy who learns Torah is not allowed to learn Torah. There's nisr to teach a guy Torah. But a Jew is supposed to learn Torah, and that's supposed to be a part of him. So a Jew mela has a din of tashmishe kedusha, which lachar zman mitzvasan, after you can't use it anymore, the body, the guf is done, he's dead. So what do you do with tashmishe kedusha? It needs to be buried. But a non-Jew has a din of tashmishe mitzvah, which is great, and has kedusha while it's being used. But lachar zman mitzvasan, once he's dead and no longer has that level of kedusha, so what do you do with it? It's nizrakin. You can get rid of it however you want. It no longer has that kedusha. That's the and with that he said that's how Rav Soloveitchik explained the famous Gemara Nida, where the Gemara says that that the Malach learns Torah with the baby inside the mother's womb and teaches the baby Kala Torah Kula, then gives the baby the little patch on the way out of the mother's womb. So what's the point of learning all that Torah? What value is it if the baby's going to forget all of it? No, but the point is to make the Torah part of his personality. It's not something that he's going to remember the details, but that's what imbues a Jewish child with a ruach haTorah. And that's what makes it chakuk aluach libecha. That's what makes the Torah part of who he is. That's what gives him his very kedusha. He does point out that there is no isra of halanas hameis b'meisei akum, because there's no mitzvah of kvura. You're allowed to leave meisei akum unburied. But the Ramban al haTorah in Parshas Kisetzei says that in Eretz Yisrael there is a mitzvah of kvura meisei akum, because v'lo satameis ad mascha. In Eretz Yisrael you're not allowed to leave tumah just lying around, so you have to bury it. So Shach said this really opens up issues when it comes to medical school in Israel, because even if they're using Jewish dead bodies, you have it's a halbitzara. But if they're using non-Jewish dead bodies, it could be that there's an isra of halanas hameis. So the isra of halanas hameis is something you have to contend with. They wouldn't normally have to contend with in using Jewish dead bodies. So that's also the pshat in the Rambam, famous Rambam Hilchos Gerushin, that the guy doesn't want to give a get. What do we do? We beat the garbage out of him until he says Rotsani. What do you mean Rotsani? He doesn't really want you, just beating him up, so he says Rotsani. So that's what the Rambam says. No, the real Ani really wants it. Who are we to say who's real Ani is? Do you really know anybody that well that you know that you could say for sure that deep down? Yeah, if he's a Jew, so the real Ani is Torah. He is the Torah is Chakuk Aluach Libo. That's what he is. He has Be'etzem. He's the Ani Ha'amiti Shalo is actually Torah. Rav Soloveitchik explained based on that. That's what the idea is. That they say B'shem the Gra that he was makbid that during Simchas Torah at the Hakafos, no one was allowed to stand by the bima, on the bima. Let's assume you have a shul that has, you know, like most shuls have, where the bima is not just a table, but there's a whole bima, there's a platform, so no one's allowed to stand on that platform during Hakafos, the Gra held. You're not allowed to stand there. Why? So Salvation explained that the Hakafos and Simchas Torah are to commemorate, are symbolic of what the Gemara in Tainus Lamed Aleph says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make La'asud Lavo Machu L'Tzadikim, a circle for the Tzadikim to dance around him. And the Tzadikim are going to be Marabe Etzba'am, they're going to be able to point with their fingers and say, Bayomahu Hine El Kenu Zeh, they're going to point to the middle of the circle, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The middle of the circle represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why no person is allowed to stand there, because that makom is reserved for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says for salvation, what do we do for the 7 days before that? Before Simchas Torah, before we have Hakafos. So we're also makif. But what do? We have a Sefer Torah be'emza. And we're makif with what? Holding Dalet Minim. Dalet Minim represent mitzvos. Sefer Torah represents Torah. Right? It is Torah. So for 7 days we're makif with Dalet Minim, trying to suggest that the only way to be zocha to Torah is through mitzvahs. That if a person thinks that Torah is just going to be an intellectual exercise and he's not going to be able to, and he's not going to, and he's not going to internalize it and put it into practice in his daily life, it's not going to be lulman amanas lasos. Well, then he's not going to be a talmud chacham. It's not going to be genuine Torah. Torah doesn't work that way. It's like they always say from Bertrand Russell, one of the what was he, an ethicist or something? He was some sort of professor. And they asked him, how could you teach ethics? You are a womanizer, you are a drunk, how could you be teaching ethics? And he said, I don't see you asking your geometry professor how they could teach geometry if they're neither a square, a circle, nor a parallelogram. He says, what does that have to do? What does one have to do with the other? I happen to know the books really well, so I'm able to teach it. There's no problem with it. So, but by Torah, it's not that way. By Torah, it's got to be through a commitment to mitzvos that you're zocha to the Torah. So that's what salvation explains. So that's what we do for 7 days. Then once we are zocha to Torah, then we can dance around with the Torahs and show how that's going to lead us to a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That it's dafka through Torah that one gets a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the idea, that all Kedusha begins with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which extends itself through Torah, and that's why anything that's Torah related has Tashmishe Kedusha. It has the status of Tashmishe Kedusha. And that's why any building that has Kedusha in Judaism has to be a building that has some shaykhus to Ksav Shel Torah. The Ramban writes Al HaTorah in Parshas Truma, in the beginning of Parshas Truma, why is the Mishkan called the Mishkan HaEdus? Because it contains in it the Luchos HaEdus. Absent the Luchos, your Mishkan is not a Mishkan. The Mishkan derives its Kedusha from the Ksav Shel Torah itself. In the second base of Mikdash, the Gemara in Yuma Chafalvan base says we didn't have the Luchos, we didn't have the Aron. The Aron wasn't there. So where did the Kedusha of the second base of Mikdash come from? So the Gemara in Nun Gimelan base quotes a Machlokas Tanayim, where according to one sheet in Tanayim, and it's passing like the Rambam in the fourth parak of Beis HaBechira, that when Shlomo Melch built the first base of Mikdash, he knew that ultimately it would be destroyed. So he built a place to hide the Aron in tunnels underground, and Yoshio HaMelech, when he saw that things were nearing an end, hid the Aron there so that the Aron would be on premises. Why does it have to be on premises? Because if you're going to have Kedushas Beis HaMikdash during the time in the second Beis HaMikdash, you needed an Aron. You can't have Kedushas HaMikdash without Torah, without Ksav Shel Torah on premises. So, and that's where Kedush Beis HaKnesses comes from also. Kedush Beis HaKnesses has to come from Ksav Shel Torah. That's why a Beis HaKnesses, a very critical part of any shul that has Kedush Beis HaKnesses, is an Aron in the room. Rav Shachter thought to even say that if the Aron is recessed into the wall, that's considered in a separate room, and therefore it could be a pagam in the Kedush Beis HaKnesses. He said that once when he was speaking in the Yad Gishol Woodmere, where the Aron is recessed in the wall. And it was a little uncomfortable for a while. But the Aron is the where we get the Kedusha from. He points out that this whole Geder L'chara doesn't work according to the Machlokas Tanayim in Masechas Smachos. There's one sheet in Tanayim that considers Tzitzis Tashmishe Kedusha. Okay, so that's a problem. That's probably why where the minhag comes from. A lot of people put their tzitzis in the Sheamus box. So why do you have to do that? It's Tashmishe Mitzvah. It's Pasha that it's Nizrak and Lachas Van Mitzvah. So why would you put it in the Sheamus box? So it could be that relates to that Shita and Tanayim, Sechas Machos, that tzitzis is a Safek Tashmishe Kedusha. That obviously doesn't fit together. No? Okay, so all that for this. Cover of the mezuzah. How do you dispose of it? You want to get rid of your cover of the mezuzah. What is it? Based on the Geder that we just said? Tashmish Kedusha. Anything that relates to the Ksav Shel Torah is Tashmish Kedusha. Mele, the mezuzah has to be the cover of the mezuzah also needs to be nignaz. It can't just be discarded. Okay. Last thing I want to cover tonight is the famous comment of the Vilna Gaon. If you look in, related to mezuzah cover, if you look in the Pesachei Tshuva, source number 7, Pesachei Tshuva in the bottom of your day, and some Reish Petas writes, Ban hogas hachosra grozal, kosav, lo yichro ha mezuzah beklaf uchadome, shelo ye chotzeit ben ha mezuzah le mezuzah sabayis. That you're not allowed to wrap the mezuzah in a piece of klaf or something similar, let's say saran wrap or whatever it is that we wrap our mezuzahs in. Why? Because it's going to be chatzitza between the mezuzah and the doorpost. And the mezuzah has to go directly on the doorpost. You're not allowed to have a chatzitza between the mezuzah and the doorpost. That's the comment of the Gra. Pesachei Tshuva just leaves it at that. Ad kan dvarav v'tzaruch iyun. He doesn't say why it's tzaruch iyun, just says tzaruch iyun. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, I'll tell you why it's tzaruch iyun. He says, Dover Pashutu, let's see. Let me just get to the... where is it? Yeah, on the top of the next page. Re'isi Pesachei Tshuva Sifkan Beis B'Shem Hanhagas HaGra Shlo Yichroch HaMezuzah Klal Shlo Tei Chatzitza Ben HaLakosel Ayin Sham V'Teima Rabasi. But this is very strange. Levad Shebechol HaPosk Gemein Okei. So the first problem is, the Gra was the first rabbi in Jewish history to think of this idea. No one else ever mentioned anything like this. Kamosh Ksafti. Od Kasha, De'ech Yikva Mismarim BaMezuzah Atzma. The Rambam, when he talks about how you put up a mezuzah, so if you look at the Rambam, you take a quick peek at the Rambam in source number 12, right? He says, Kishakoflinosa, Golulinosa, in Hilchas Mezuzah Sifritar, Perkei Alach Vav, Hilchas Tvil Mezuzah Sifritar, Perkei Alach Vav, he says, you roll, he tells you exactly how to roll it. And then he says, Umechaber osel mezuzah sapesach b'mismar with a nail. Ochofer b'mezuzah sapesach machnas b'mezuzah. Or you could dig a cavity into the doorpost. But how could you talk about a nail if you're not allowed to have, meaning the Gra's going against the Rambam then? Because the Rambam says you put a nail. What, you can put a nail through the cloth? If you're not allowed to have anything on the back of the mezuzah because the mezuzah is going to be a chatzitza, it's going to be a chatzitza between the mezuzah and the wall, where are you putting your nail? So that's another issue that the Aruch HaShulchan raises. One second. He says also, Umashai chatzitza. Ha'kol batel ha'kosel. What do you mean chatzitza? Everything becomes part of the wall. Whatever's attached to the wall becomes part of the wall. Meaning, is there a chatzitza between that mezuzah and the doorpost? Because I don't think that olive color was the original color of that doorpost. I don't think the metal came in that color. It was painted that color. So is the paint a chatzitza? No, the paint is obviously batel gabe the doorpost. So that's it. So it's part of the doorpost. So you're attaching it to the doorpost. How's that going to be a chatzitza? Umigriya haniyar shal mezuzah karochba oshfer shal eito shal matachas mei eitzim oavanim shal etzim mezuzah sabayis. Why is it any different than if you were to have, you know, an extra little piece of wood that sticks out of your doorpost that then becomes part of your doorpost? This all also becomes part of your doorpost. So says Yaruch HaShulchan, because of these questions, ubarur shashomea shama v'ta'a. Whoever heard this from the Gra obviously was very mistaken. The Gra never wrote this anywhere. The Gra couldn't have said something like this because it's completely absurd. Okay, now, if we're going to make this Gra work, we're going to have to answer those questions. Yeah?
Well, the first question, right, was how is he going to put it in? Because there's nothing to attach it to.
The first one was just that it's not mentioned anywhere earlier, but yeah.
Oh, no, good point. So you're right. Second one. So if it's hollowed in, then you could just...
Right, but the Rambam says you have two options. Rambam says either it's hollowed in, or you could put a nail through it. So the Gra must be saying against the Rambam. The Gra would say, no, you only have one option.
To put it in
the hollow, you're saying. So, but we don't want the Gra to be against the Rambam. The Gra probably doesn't want to be against the Rambam.
Why would we say that nail is necessarily a chatzitza? If you're doing, let's say you nail it through, like on the bottom of the cloth, where there's no writing anymore, and then you're attaching it straight to the wall, so the mezuzah is touching the wall. I suppose if you have like a plastic wrap, something around it, where between the actual...
You're saying you're putting a nail through the cloth.
Yeah.
That's how you're solving
the
issue.
I don't feel like on the bottom.
Yeah, I just, I don't think you are allowed to. I don't think you could just...
Then how else would you use the nail?
Right. You have to have a cover. I mean, that's the point. That's the Aruch HaShulchan's point, that you got to nail the cover into the wall.
Then why can't it be like the cover we have? Like, not like the wrap inside, but the actual cover.
So that's probably the simplest answer. Simplest answer is, he says it's chatzitza. It's only a chatzitza if it's in between the back of the mezuzah and the doorpost. So if the mezuzah, you just don't put it on the backing of the mezuzah, you're not going to have a chatzitza. You can put a nail in, so the nail problem is solved, right? The fact that none of the other poskim mentioned it, you know, the Gra's not going to get around that. He'll just say, you know, they thought it was a double pashtun. So, like, there's nothing you're going to do to solve that problem unless you say that they didn't need to mention it because you're putting it directly in the wall anyway or something like that. He leaves out the most important question, no? The biggest question. What's the biggest question? Where do we know the idea of mezuzah covers from? What does the Gemara say?
Gemara.
The Gemara in Bamatzia says what? You put it where?
Kaneh.
Yeah, which is what? What does that look like? So mistama, it's a tube, no? And a tube is surrounded on all sides. So that's the biggest kasha. The Gemara says you could put it in a tube. So if it's in a tube, it's surrounded on all sides. The last question of chatzitza, you know, that it becomes part of the doorpost, that kasha bother you? It becomes part of the doorpost anyway, so why is it any different than the paint on the doorpost?
Well, it's less of a chatzitza if there's no paint.
The paint covers the whole door.
And therefore?
So that's why it's not a chatzitza, because it becomes part of the door, but if it sticks out, then...
So... Let's say you have a 2x4 that runs along half of the doorpost and that's attached. Does that become part of the doorpost? So some of that does also. Why would the so the Aruch HaShulchan's point is, so the mezuzah also the back of the mezuzah also becomes part of the doorpost. I think there's a fundamental difference over here. No, the mezuzah is not supposed to be buttled to the doorpost. It's supposed to be on the doorpost. You're dafka not being mevatel into the doorpost, you're putting it on the doorpost, and it should be recognizable on the doorpost. You're supposed to see it, you're supposed to recognize it, that's the whole point. It's not supposed to become part of the doorpost, it's supposed to attach to the doorpost. The paint is supposed to become part of the doorpost. It's much easier to say that the paint becomes buttled to the door and is considered part of the doorpost than to say that the mezuzah, the backing of the mezuzah does. Yeah?
So then why would they be able to do what they do in their tefillah?
What's the problem?
That they're hollowing out the wall, then the mezuzah is coming by the door.
It's inside the doorpost, but again, it still has to be distinct enough that you can see it.
Yeah, but even if it's distinct enough, it's still going to be hollow. You can have something that buttles the door, it's still going to be distinct.
Right, but I'm just saying it's a different level of bittul, meaning the point of anything of the paint on the doorpost is that it's supposed to look like the doorpost, it's supposed to be part of the doorpost. That's much easier to say, okay, that's the doorpost. But the mezuzah, this is bottled to the mezuzah, not bottled to the doorpost. The mezuzah cover is supposed to be bottled to the mezuzah, not bottled to the doorpost. Now you could say, good, but that's exactly his point. If it's bottled to the mezuzah, so then it's not a chatzitza either. If it's bottled to either thing, it's not a chatzitza. No, as long as you're mevatel, it's not a chatzitza. What about a hilchus tefillin? Tefillin not allowed to have a chatzitza, right? So, we don't say that, look, my sleeve is buttled to my arm anyway. So let it, you know, or the tefillin box is buttled, you know, the case is buttled to the tefillin, so let it stay. And we never have a havamina to say like that. Another Gra is a strong point, that we have a din chatzitza there. What's the din chatzitza in tefillin, chatzitza in mezuzah? It's supposed to be al mezuzah pesecha. It's supposed to be on your door. So...
Like with tefillin, you have the bottom, so it detects the partials and the end. It's easier to put on. If you just had the partials, you're putting just the partials on your arm, you wouldn't be able to do that.
No, but the bottom part of the Chavetz Shal Mitzvah.
Right, so once you...
The cover is not necessarily part of the Chavetz Shal Mitzvah. Yeah?
Right. Something that's maybe more removable, maybe is less of a... would be a chatzitza as opposed to mezuzah, which if you already take off, that can kind of be...
So what's removable? You mean like the tefillin boxes you're saying are removable? But that's only because we make it that way.
Yeah, but if you were to leave it on, then there's reason to say it's chatzitza.
Can you put plastic over your tefillin to protect them, and then put them on, and put them in a permanent way? I mean, we make them removable so that we could have easy access to our tefillin. Or we could just as easily not make it that way. All right, I'm out of time. I got to go give another shiur. Mitzvah tomorrow. We'll take a look at what the Yemek Bracha says about this gra, and then we'll Mitzvah Hashem move on from there. Tomorrow.